Amazing love. Hello, dear listeners. Please, would you bow your hearts with mine to ask God for his help as we attempt to meditate on the extent of his love to us in Jesus. Our Father, you are good, and your steadfast love endures forever. You, O God, so loved the world that you gave your one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. You demonstrate your own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Though many of us are familiar with these declarations from your word, Lord, we plead with you, stir our hearts from any familiarity that has lost its sense of awe, adoration, and joyful gratitude for so great a love. So we come needy, humbled by our inability to do anything apart from abiding in you, and cry out for a fresh measure of power to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And we ask this so that we would truly be compelled, controlled by your love, to live no longer for ourselves, but for Christ Jesus, who for our sake died and was raised again. For the renown of your name, for such love that will save many. Amen. I'll be reading a devotional by John Piper, fitting for such an Easter Saturday, entitled, Every Step on the Calvary Road Was Love. The Intensity of Christ's Love and the Intentionality of His Death. The love of Christ for us in His dying was as conscious as His suffering was intentional. 1 John 3:16 says, By this we know love, that He laid down His life for us. If He was intentional in laying down His life, the intention was for us. It was love to us. John 13:1 says, When Jesus knew that His hour had come to depart out of this world to the Father, having loved His own who were in the world, He loved them to the end. Every step on the Calvary Road meant, I love you. Therefore, to feel the love of Christ in the laying down of His life, it helps to see how utterly intentional it was. Consider these five ways of seeing Christ's intentionality in dying for us. First, look at what Jesus said just after that violent moment when Peter tried to cleave the skull of a servant but only cut off his ear. Jesus said to Peter, as recorded in Matthew 26, verses 52 to 54, Put your sword back into its place, for all who take the sword will perish by the sword. Do you think that I cannot appeal to my Father, and He will at once send me more than 12 legions of angels? But how then should the Scriptures be fulfilled that it must be so? It is one thing to say that the details of Jesus' death were predicted in the Old Testament, but it is much more to say that Jesus, in that night, Himself was making His choices precisely to fulfill those Scriptures. That is what Jesus said He was doing in Matthew 26:54. In effect, He said, I could escape this misery, but how then should the Scriptures be fulfilled that it must be so? I am not choosing to take that way out because I know the Scriptures. I know what must take place. It is my choice to fulfill all that is predicted of me in the Word of God. A second way the intentionality of His love for us is seen is in the repeated expressions of His intention to go to Jerusalem, into the very jaws of the lion. Speaking to the 12 as they travelled, Jesus said, See, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be delivered over to the chief priests and the scribes, and they will condemn Him to death and deliver Him over to the Gentiles. And they will mock Him and spit on Him and flog Him and kill Him, and after 3 days He will rise. That's found in Mark chapter 10, verses 33 to 34. Jesus had a clear and all-controlling goal to die according to the Scriptures. He knew when the time was near and set His face like flint. Luke 9:51 tells us, When the days drew near for Him to be taken up, He set His face to go to Jerusalem. A third way we see the intentionality of Jesus to suffer for us is in the words he spoke through the mouth of Isaiah the prophet, chapter 50, verse 6. I gave my back to those who strike, and my cheeks to those who pull out the beard. I hid not my face from disgrace and spitting. Piper says, I have to work hard in my imagination to keep before me what iron will this required. Humans recoil from suffering. We recoil 100 times more from suffering that is caused by unjust, ugly, snivelling, low-down, arrogant people. At every moment of pain and indignity, Jesus chose not to do what would have been immediately just. He gave his back to the flogger, he gave his cheek to slapping, he gave his beard to plucking, he offered his face to spitting, and he was doing it for the very ones causing the pain. He was doing it intentionally for us. A fourth way we see the intentionality of Jesus' suffering is in the way Peter explained how this was possible. He said in 1 Peter 2, verse 23, when he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. The way Jesus handled the injustice of it all was not by saying injustice doesn't matter, but by entrusting his cause to him who judges justly. God would see that justice is done. That was not Jesus' calling at Calvary, nor is it our highest calling now. Romans 12:19 reminds us, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. The fifth and perhaps the clearest statement that Jesus makes about his own intentionality to die is in John from chapter 10, verses 17 to 18. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father. Jesus' point in these words is that he is acting completely voluntarily. He is under no constraint from any mere human. Circumstances have not overtaken him. He is not being swept along in the injustice of the moment. He is in control. Therefore, when John says, by this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, we should feel the intensity of his love for us to the degree that we see his intentionality to suffer and die. Piper prayed, as we did at the beginning, I pray you will feel it profoundly, and may that profound experience of being loved by Christ have this effect on us all. The love of Christ controls us. He died for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised.